Eye of the Needle, Disc 9.
Chapter 29. Lying on its side, the jeep looked powerful but helpless, like a wounded elephant. The engine had stalled. Faber gave it a hefty push, and it toppled majestically onto all four wheels. It had survived the fight relatively undamaged. The canvas roof was destroyed, of course. The rip Faber's knife had made had become a long tear running from one side to the other. The offside front fender, which had ploughed into the earth and stopped the vehicle, was crumpled. The headlight on that side had smashed. The window on the same side had been broken by the shot from the gun. The windshield was miraculously intact. Faber climbed into the driver's seat, put the gear shift into neutral, and tried the starter. It kicked over and died. He tried again, and the engine fired. He was grateful for that. He could not have faced a long walk. He sat in the car for a while, inventorying his wounds. He gingerly touched his right ankle. It was swelling massively. Perhaps he had cracked a bone. It was as well that the jeep was designed to be driven by a man with no legs. Faber could not have pressed a brake pedal. The lump on the back of his head felt huge, at least the size of a golf ball. When he touched it, his hand came away sticky with blood. He examined his face in the rearview mirror. It was a mass of small cuts and big bruises, like the face of the loser at the end of a boxing match. He had abandoned his oilskin back at the cottage, so his jacket and overalls were soggy with rain and smeared with mud. He needed to get warm and dry very soon. He gripped the steering wheel. A burning pain shot through his hand. He had forgotten the torn fingernail. He looked at it. It was the nastiest of his injuries. He would have to drive with one hand. He pulled away slowly and found what he guessed was the road. There was no danger of getting lost on this island. All he had to do was follow the cliff edge until he came to Lucy's cottage. He needed to invent a lie to explain to Lucy what had become of her husband. She wouldn't have heard the shotgun so far away, he knew. He might, of course, tell her the truth. There was nothing she could do about it. However, if she became difficult, he might have to kill her, and he had an aversion to that. Driving slowly along the cliff top, through the pouring rain and howling wind, he marvelled at this new thing inside him, this scruple. It was the first time he had ever felt reluctance to kill. It was not that he was amoral. To the contrary, he had made up his mind that the killing he did was on the same moral level as death on the battlefield, and his emotions followed his intellect. He always had the physical reaction, the vomiting, after he killed, but that was something incomprehensible that he ignored.